وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى raise you in rank and shower his rahmah and his blessings on you. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصفا والمروة من شعائر الله، فمن حج البيت أو اعتمر فلا جناح عليه أن يطوف بهما، ومن تطوع خيرا فإن الله شاكر عليم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, continuing with the subject of patience, in the hadith, we are taught an addition to the phrase, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The mother of the believers, Sayyidina Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, reports, I heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Allah will definitely grant a person something better than that which he has lost if he recites at the time of the loss, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minha. Verily, to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. O Allah, grant a reward in my calamity, and grant me something better in exchange. When my husband Abu Salma radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, I thought, who can be better than him? His family was the first to migrate to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nevertheless, she says, I recited the supplication, and Allah replaced my husband with none other than the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was definitely better than Abu Salma. Let us repeat that. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlufli khayran minha. Thus far we have gathered from the numerous ahadith all the worldly adversities and calamities serve to eradicate sins from a Muslim. They serve to raise his ranks and are an expiation for his sins, which will ultimately protect him from the chastisement of the grave and the day of judgment. It is incumbent upon the believer to bear every situation with tolerance and gratitude. He should have a strong hope in the promised rewards and should be rest assured that both favorable and adverse situations augur well. True difficulty is the lot of the non-believer who suffers without gaining any reward for his suffering. The hardship of a believer, a mu'min, is really none at all because of the immense rewards he accrues thereby. This does not mean that he should not ask Allah for cure and favorable conditions. Just as reward is attained through patience, reward is also gained through gratitude. One should continue supplicating for good fortune, but should misfortune overtake one, tolerance should be shown. Many people do not understand the divine wisdom behind favorable and adverse conditions. They make foolish statements to the effect that calamities seem to befall only the Muslims. They make absurd comments that the non-believers possess mansions and palaces, while Muslims have only promises of paradise. Some say that Allah lavishes His favors upon others while He leaves His own in poverty, destitution, and other misery. Such ignorant people do not understand that it is because of people like themselves that the Muslims suffered such grief. These distressful situations are an atonement for the sins and a means of raising their ranks. They are means of safety from the punishment of the hereafter, which is in reality a great favor. By suffering a little anguish in this world, one is saved from the grievous torments of the hereafter. Since the non-believers has no pleasure in store for him in the hereafter, there awaits for him only punishment. For this reason, he is given more in this world and has to suffer less hardship. If any non-believer was of any service to mankind or performed any commendable act, he will receive his reward in this world, while there will be absolutely nothing for him in the hereafter. He will abide in hell for eternity. Bukhari, rahmatullah alayhi, narrates from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, I met the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lying on a straw mat. Between the mat and his body was no bedding. As a result, the mat left an imprint upon his body. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was resting against a leather pillow which was filled with the bark of a date palm. I said, Oh, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ask Allah to bestow wealth upon your ummah and followers. The Persians and Romans are very affluent, whereas they do not even worship Allah. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, O son of Khattab, are you also dwelling in this misconception? Do you not know that these people are given the good things in this world and will have nothing in reserve for the next? And then another narration of the same hadith reads, Do not prefer that they enjoy this world while we enjoy the next. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Safa and Marwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اِعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. Verily, Safa and Marwa are among the signs of Allah. So whoever performs Hajj or Umrah of the house, there shall be no sin upon him should he go and to and forth between the two. Whoever performs a good act of his free will, then surely Allah is most grateful, all-knowing. The legislation and inception of moving between Safa and Marwa. Sha'air is the plural of Sha'ira, which means sign or token. Safa and Marwa are two hills close to the Kaaba Sharif. During Hajj and Umrah, people walk seven times between the two. This act is called Sa'i. This act is wajib in both Hajj and Umrah. The two places are said to be from amongst the signs of Allah, meaning that they are from the signs of deen and religion. The Sa'i is one of the practices of Hajj and one of its fundamentals. For this reason, these two hills have great importance in Islam. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives us insight into the inception of this practice in the following hadith of Bukhari Sharif. He says that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, in accordance with the command of Allah, left his wife Hajra alayhi salam and his son Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam in Makkah Mukarrama, which was then just barren ground. They had with them only some dates and a water bag. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam began to leave, his wife walked behind him asking, O Ibrahim, are you leaving us here? There are no people here and nothing else. This she repeated several times, but each time she received no reply. Finally, she asked, Did Allah instruct you to do this? When he replied in the affirmative, she remarked, In that case, Allah will not allow us to be destroyed. Thereafter, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam proceeded, leaving the two alone. The mother continued to breastfeed a child and drink from the water bag. When the water was exhausted, she and her infant child grew thirsty. Seeing her child in a restless condition, she ascended the Mount of Safa to see whether any people were approaching. When she could not see anyone, she hastened to Marwa, running through the valley in between. There too, She could sight no one. Once again, she hurried back to Safa and again to Marwa. In this manner, she went to and fro seven times. Upon reaching this point, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu repeated the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For this reason, people perform the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, that is, in commemoration of her act. Upon the final descent from Marwa, she heard a sound and tried to remain calm. She then listened attentively and she heard it again. Addressing the voice, she said, "O speaker, you have made yourself heard. If you have any help to offer, then render it." Suddenly she witnessed an angel scraping the ground with his heel, from which water emerged. Sayyidina Hajra alayhi salam began making a form of a retaining wall around it and filled her water bag. The water continued to gush forth. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu again quoted the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "May Allah have mercy upon the mother of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. Had she left it to be, this water of Zamzam would have flowed throughout the earth." She continued to drink from the well and to feed her child. The angels would reassure her not to fear, since Allah would not allow them to be destroyed, because this child and his father will construct the house of Allah in this place. They added that Allah would never destroy his own, the faithful. After this, the narration of Bukhari mentions the settlement of the Bani Jurhum tribe there and the marriage of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam to a lady from amongst them. It also goes on to mention the return of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and the construction of the Kaaba. Allah loved this action of Sayyidina Hajra alayhi salam so much that he included it in the rights of every person who performs Hajj or Umrah. This is a unique feature of every person who sacrifices for the sake of Allah. The Sa'i during the period of ignorance. It is recorded in Bukhari Sharif that Sayyidina Asim bin Sulaiman rahmatullahi alayhi says that they inquired from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala concerning Safa and Marwa. He replied, "During the days of ignorance, we used to move between the two. Upon becoming Muslims, we stopped this practice, whereupon Allah revealed the verse, 'Verily, Safa and Marwa are among the signs of Allah.'" In Muslim Sharif, numerous ahadith are recorded concerning this. One of them is narrated by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who says, "During the days of ignorance, the Ansar used to pay homage to the idol, the famous idol Manat. They considered the Sa'i impermissible. So when they performed Hajj with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mentioned this to him, upon which the above verse was revealed." She added further, "Allah will not accept the Hajj of a person who does not perform Sa'i." Bukhari Sharif reports the hadith wherein Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an says, I have heard from numerous men of knowledge that people generally perform the Sa'i during the time of ignorance, except for those mentioned in the above hadith of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. When the verses of Tawaf were revealed in Surah Hajj, no mention was made of Safa and Marwa. The companions inquired, "O the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the period of ignorance, we used to carry out the Sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Allah has instructed about the Tawaf. So what about the Sa'i? Is there any sin in his performance?" At this instance, the above verse was revealed. Sayyidina Abu Bakr ibn Abdul Rahman rahmatullah alayhi then added, "The verse was revealed with reference to both groups, those who practiced Sa'i before Islam and those who did not." Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi has deliberated in much detail about this subject and has exhaustively collaborated the various ahadith in his book Fathul Bari. Nasai records that there stood two copper idols atop Safa and Marwa. One was called As'af and the other Na'ilah. The idolaters would touch each of them when performing the Hajj or Umrah during the period of ignorance. Sayyidina Sha'ab rahmatullah alayhi says that the idol atop Safa was called As'af, while the one upon Marwa was called Na'ilah. People would conduct the Sa'i because of the presence of these two. When Islam came, these two idols were destroyed. However, the people felt that the sa'i was an act of ignorance performed only as a homage to these two idols and had to be discarded in Islam. This was the reason for which the verse was revealed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the hajj of all the hajjis and those amongst us who aspire to go for hajj and for umrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us there over and over again. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.